For news, here is one of the most listened to broadcasts in all radio, News Around the World with Don Baker. Here is Don Baker.
That alleged bombing of a Russian ship by U.S. planes yesterday. This morning, the Soviets say one of two wounded sailors is dead. ABC's George Watson reports from Moscow.
The reported death of a Soviet seaman is seen here in Moscow today as the most serious incident of the Vietnam War involving a direct clash between the U.S. and Soviet Union. Once before, the Soviets claimed a Russian coal miner had been killed in North Vietnam, and last August they charged that American planes shelled a merchant ship. But these seem minor episodes if, in fact, two American bombers did attack a Soviet freighter. At present, the Kremlin demands punishment of those allegedly to blame and assurances that such attacks will not continue. George Watson, ABC, Moscow.
I'll have more news in a moment.
Helen, I'm home. What's for supper? Hey, you're sure bright-eyed. I'd be bored to death with this housework routine day after day.
Busy mothers, women who can't afford to be dull, sharpen their wits with No-Doze. No-Doze Keep Alert tablets or new chewable mints, safe as coffee, help you keep up with people and conditions around you. So to fight off afternoon letdown,
sharpen your wits with No-Doze. No-Doze keeps you alert.
In Vietnam, a fierce battle south of Da Nang, ABC's Don North reports from Saigon.
U.S. Marines in Operation Union 2 have inflicted heavy casualties on a North Vietnamese regiment in the Hip Duc Valley about 20 miles south of Da Nang. 256 enemy have been killed since noon yesterday. No casualty figures for the Marines have yet been released. The battle started when several companies of the 5th Marines located the enemy regiment in well-dug positions in the valley, 18 miles from the central coast. The Marine assault on the enemy lines, a helicopter was shot down by ground fire. One crewman was killed, two wounded. Don North, ABC, Saigon.
A riot last night in the Roxbury section of Boston, mothers on welfare formed a human chain to prevent employees from leaving a welfare office in Roxbury. Edmund McNamara, the Boston police commissioner, tells ABC what happened next.
The police tried to pacify the crowd, but they started hurling bricks and... After eight police officers were injured, we dispersed the crowd. They were storming the building. The welfare workers were inside. We subsequently had about 29 police officers injured.
And Boston Police Commissioner Edmund McNamara also said he believes the trouble started because some people thought they weren't getting enough welfare money. Prime Minister Wilson and President Johnson wind up talks in Washington today, the Prime Minister and the President agreeing that fast action is needed to head off a war in the Mideast. Here in New York, the Security Council meets again today, the Security Council session to be carried live by many of these ABC stations. The United Arab Republic is claiming a diplomatic victory in the Middle East dispute. In Cairo, ABC's Charles P. Arno has this report.
Informed diplomatic sources here in Cairo tell me the U.S. now concedes President Nasser has won this round in the Gulf of Aqaba dispute. The U.S. position, I'm told, is that we are trying to convince the Israelis they could not expect material aid from us in the event they launch a war. And we're now standing by hoping that tempers will cool in Israel. The latest Israeli declaration demands that the blockaded Gulf of Aqaba be reopened, that Nasser pull back his forces, and that Israel be protected against Arab terrorists. I'm told the U.S. feels any forcible effort to reopen Aqaba would put us in an impossible situation throughout the Arab and possibly the Muslim world. So it's U.S. words, not deeds for now. Charles P. Arno, ABC, Cairo.
This is ABC News. Hanoi says U.S. planes sprayed poisonous chemicals on three villages in Laos last month. Hanoi quoted the communist Pathet Lao radio in Laos, saying many Laotian villagers were hurt, livestock was killed, and crops destroyed. Hanoi says the alleged U.S. raids took place on May 15th and 16th. State police in New Mexico have broken up a group trying to make a land grab, a group of Spanish Americans trying to take over 600,000 acres around Coyote, New Mexico. The Spanish Americans say the land is theirs. State police arrested about a dozen of them, seized weapons in that attempted land grab in New Mexico. The Federal Communications Commission expected to decide by the end of June whether or not ABC and the International Telephone and Telegraph Company can merge. The FCC approved the proposed merger between ABC and AT&T last December, but stayed its ruling when the Justice Department questioned the merger and asked that the proceedings be reopened. This is news around the world.
Back to Don Baker after we pause for station identification. In a moment, we'll hear direct reports from Cairo, Amman, Tel Aviv, Montreal, and Fort Jackson, South Carolina, as news around the world continues.
Senator Strom Thurmond wants Congress to look into the plan by Pentagon to eliminate 15 National Guard divisions. Senator Thurmond says it's silly to cut back the National Guard in view of the world situation. For the other side of the Middle East picture, here's ABC's Ray Maloney with an exclusive interview with Abba Ibon, the Israeli foreign minister in Tel Aviv.
There is no solution at present to the increasingly dangerous crisis here in the Middle East, and nor is the formula for any solution in sight. That is the grim warning which the Israeli foreign minister, Abba Ibon, gave to me in an exclusive interview in Jerusalem. It is the clearest statement yet by a top Israeli statesman indicating the terrifying closeness of war in this area. Mr. Ibon expressed some anxiety as to whether Israel's allies, notably the United States, were really aware of how short the time limit is before Israel must take action, military action, unilaterally. Declarations by the United States, he said, were not enough. The United States must use its power to bring an immediate end to the illegal blockade, Mr. Ibon called it piracy, of the Gulf of Aqaba to Israeli shipping. Ray Maloney, ABC, Tel Aviv.
One part of the Middle East may be cooling off, just a little. In Amman, ABC's Louis Rukeyser has this report.
King Hussein has given the first indication here in Jordan that he thinks there should be limits to the fervor now being whipped up throughout the Arab world. In a statement addressed to his people, the young king of Jordan praised them for what he called their continuous support. But Hussein, in effect, pleaded for calm and warned specifically against any demonstrations. There have been some demonstrations here in Jordan this week to welcome Ahmed Shoukry, head of the extremist Palestine Liberation Organization, who wants war now. Louis Rukeyser, ABC, Amman.
The U.S. 6th Fleet is steaming somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea this morning, and the 6th Fleet has some unwanted company. ABC's Bill Gill, with the fleet, gives the details.
The U.S. 6th Fleet has headed for the open seas of the Mediterranean, still unable to lose two Soviet spy ships which continue to track its movements. After several days of following a rambling zigzag course, the U.S. ships headed westward from the island of Crete, steaming into open waters. Then following a night of evasive maneuvers, the Russian spy ships, a destroyer escort, and one trawler were spotted on fleet radar screens no further away than usual, and again scanning the flight decks of the carrier America with binoculars. The fleet, with 4,000 combat-ready Marines aboard, continues its normal maneuvers here in the Mideastern seas. Bill Gill, ABC, with the 6th Fleet somewhere in the Mediterranean.
Houthi has come under criticism for pulling the United Nations emergency force out of the Middle East. Last night in Montreal, our ABC microphones were there as Thant spoke about the UNIF.
We now see all too clearly the true value and importance of the idea. But we also have a grim reminder of the difficulties still to be overcome and of the essential limitations of the United Nations in a world still dominated by rigid concepts of national sovereignty, by power politics, and by acute nationalistic feelings.
And Uthan also said the present Mideast crisis is not a defeat for the UN concept of peacekeeping. That's the story from the Mideast on News Around the World. In Pacolet, South Carolina, two young spacemen have successfully finished a special project, staying in a simulated spaceship for 48 hours. The purpose of that experiment, to prove their mental and physical abilities to withstand conditions of outer space. The young spacemen are Randy Edwards, he's 10, and his 8-year-old brother, Mark. Randy and Mark really prepared for their simulated flight. They read every word they could find on space travel. They watched every televised flight. They wrote NASA to get more information. Then the two young brothers put together a space survival kit. It included such items as soft drinks, candy bars, and peanut butter sandwiches. Randy and Mark had only one problem. What would they use as a capsule? After consultations with their superiors, their parents, the two boys settled on the downstairs bathroom of their home in Pacolet, South Carolina. The simulated space trip by the two boys ended successfully yesterday, but after a look at the downstairs bathroom they used for the space capsule, their mother wonders if she'll ever let them experiment again. The final day of a courts-martial. ABC's Tom Jarrell reports from Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
Punishment for Captain Howard Levy will be set today by an Army court-martial board here at Fort Jackson. The panel of 10 career officers last night judged Levy guilty on charges of disobedience and disloyalty. The Brooklyn dermatologist could be sentenced up to 11 years in prison. His attorney recommended Levy be acquitted so the Army would not make a martyr out of him. But the court-martial board concluded Levy went beyond dissent by urging Negro soldiers not to fight in Vietnam. Levy, described here in testimony as an outspoken critic of U.S. foreign policy, had no comment about the conviction. Tom Jarrell, ABC, Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
The air war continues in Vietnam. ABC's Don North reports from Saigon.
The U.S. Air Force lost two planes over the north yesterday while bombing railroad lines. A Thunder Chief was shot down by ground fire, and a Phantom was lost to unknown causes. All three crewmen are considered missing in action. During the raids, pilots reported several engagements with enemy MiGs, but no kills were reported. The Air Force raids were concentrated on railroad yards 30 miles northeast of Hanoi. Other Air Force strikes hit a rocket launcher site 17 miles north of the demilitarized zone. Don North, ABC, Saigon.
In Greece, an American politician pleads for a Greek politician. ABC's David Burke reports from Athens.
Former Governor Pat Brown of California is hoping to get the new Greek regime to let Andreas Papandreou return to the United States. Papandreou, now in jail in Athens awaiting trial for high treason, was formerly head of the University of California Economics Department. He has an American wife and his children are Americans. But Andreas returned to Greece in 1961 and entered politics. He's been a key figure in the political crisis that first hit Greece 2 years ago. Today, he's enemy number one. Governor Brown has left behind here another California lawyer, James Schwartz, a former neighbor and friend of Andreas, to continue the negotiations. David Burke, ABC, Athens.
West Germany's controversial National Democratic Party will undergo a major test tomorrow. ABC's Barry Dunsmore reports from Hanover.
Tomorrow's state elections here in West Saxony are a critical test of strength for the NPD, the party labeled by many as neo-Nazi. This is the first election since the party ousted its chairman, Frederick Thielen, and Adolf von Todten took over full control. It was here in Hanover, the capital of Lower Saxony, that the NPD was formed over 7 years ago, and the party is going all out in posters, leaflets, and election propaganda to recover from the recent shakeup. 5% of the vote will give the NPD 8 seats in the legislature. The experts predict they will get them. And that, von Todten told me, coupled with the party's earlier wins, will be enough to make the NPD a national party. Barry Dunsmore, ABC, Hanover.
Lord Tedder is dead in England. Lord Tedder was Marshal of the Royal Air Force and was Deputy Supreme Allied Commander during World War II. Lord Tedder died at the age of 76 at his home in Banstead, England. Red China calling today for an overthrow of the British government in Hong Kong. Red China telling the Chinese in Hong Kong to organize a revolt against the British government. Sunny and mild weather for most of the country today. A few scattered showers or thundershowers scheduled for the far west and parts of the south. Fair skies and comfortable temperatures across the nation early today, but there were a few exceptions. In San Francisco, 1.32 inches of rain fell in a 24-hour period. Temperatures early this morning ranged from 40 at Ely, Nevada, and Klamath Falls, Oregon, to 81 at Key West, Florida. And that's the latest on the weather on News Around the World. A Japanese news service is quoting Nguyen Van Thu of South Vietnam as saying there'll be heavier fighting until after the U.S. presidential elections next year. The Japanese news service says Nguyen said that after the U.S. elections in 1968, the fighting ability of the communists would taper off. Attorney General Ramsey Clark now says he was wrong. Clark says the FBI never investigated Clay Shaw while probing the Kennedy assassination. In March, the Attorney General said Shaw had been cleared by the FBI. Shaw of New Orleans now under indictment for conspiring to murder President Kennedy. The government in Nigeria reported ready to topple the new state of Biafra, formed from the eastern part of Nigeria, until it seceded this week. Reports from Nigeria say that the government of that country will use force to bring down the new state. Luis Jose Monge, executed in Canyon City, Colorado last night. Monge convicted for the murder in 1963 of his pregnant wife and 3 of their 10 children. News writers for News Around the World this week were Ted Whitcomb, Bert Friedman, Mike Valenti, and Gil Longin. And that's News Around the World. Don Baker, ABC New York.
Hear ABC Radio's World of Sports weekends on the ABC Radio Network.